Hello, Audio Boom. It's Paul Hopkins. Hope you're well. It's day six, I think, isn't it? So, yeah, day six, February. How has technology changed and how does it affect your work and personal life? That's kind of the nature of the question today on February. If you're not following February, hashtag F-E-B-O-O-A-R-Y. And you can see what other people are doing wherever you are in the social internet space, not just Audio Boom itself. Thanks to Sassy Cat and others for being involved in this technology. What am I doing right now? Well, I'm going to have a very loud announcement from the train manager on a train. Maybe. I'm travelling from Birmingham to London. And I'm going to have done
good
that.
This is shop announcement for all customers. Just letting you know, the onboard shop facilities and the service will be closing within the next 5 to 10 minutes' time. So if you require anything further, please make your way to the shop now.
I don't.
As the shop will close and recline.
You gave me red wine when I wanted white wine. Thank you. Tut. Do give me the bacon sandwich I asked for, though. The bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. BLT. Okay, that's enough of Imogen. See you later. Listening chair, that's called. From the album Sparks. Anyway, I'm making a 120-mile journey in the whole thing will take about 3 hours door to door from where I work to Claire's house. I'm speaking to you on an iPhone. I could have done this in stereo just to really show off, but you know that I can do that anyway. This is current technology. In the past, probably in people's living memory, would have taken a lot longer to get to London. I mean, I can remember having to go on coach, and it was 2.5 hours just to get from Birmingham to London, city centre to city centre. But there were people that, steam trains. I mean, they weren't bad. Of course, did well, but polluty, horrible things. You know, we're trying to avoid all that kind of thing now. But just that sense of being able to travel in time almost quickly from one place to another. We learned to travel so quickly that we had to make Greenwich Mean Time in order that timetables won't get messed up just between London and Birmingham. There's about a difference between of 8 minutes on the timeline continuum, you know, the longitudinal thing, I guess. And because Birmingham's slightly off the longitude, it meant that we were on a slightly different time zone in theory, and it didn't matter when it took 3 days to get to somewhere, you know, from London to Birmingham, probably more like 4 days, I don't know, on a horse. But I'm doing this on something called a Pendolino, and it's a train that if someone let me see, what was 100 years ago? Let's just say 100 years ago. Yeah, we had Titanic and we had... Victorians thought they'd invented absolutely everything. We had the Crystal Palace and the whole great exhibition.
Customer announcement from the shop area for a lady who came to purchase some items from the shop a short time ago. I think you may have left your ticket in the shop area.
Can we get it?
Once again, it's a ticket from Liverpool to London. You may have left your ticket in the shop area. I have kept it back for you if you'd like to come and collect it.
And she probably made that that journey in maybe 2.5 hours. That's how much it's taken probably to get from Liverpool to London. Absolutely incredible. It's all about technology. And like, as I said, you know, horses and carts and taking 3 or 4 days, 5 days maybe to get from London to Birmingham alone. I'm going to do this journey. The most part of this journey is being done in 1 hour and 10 minutes now. They're talking about HS2, which will do it in sort of 40 minutes. We could fly in a helicopter in probably that time, at least. From Birmingham to London, door to door. We could land outside Claire's house, take off outside my college. We could take off on the football pitch outside my college. Inside my college, sorry. We could sort of do a little swing round, sort of wave at everyone, hey, look at me, I'm in a helicopter. And then we could be in London in next to no time outside Claire's house. It's absolutely mind-blowing. As I said, that even 100 years ago, even people knowing about steam trains and stuff, seeing a train like this whooping past, oh my gosh, you know, or lights that are as bright as they are, or clothing that is clean as it is, or things like that, you know. And we're living in interesting times. There's a Bible verse talking about that in the later days, you know, that the technology will increase, and it's certainly true. You know, you'd have these one or two sort of discoveries over hundreds of years back in the day, and now, you know, they reckon that within sort of something like 5 years, we double what we know, and we double, we learn double, and we will have doubled our technology increase, and so it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. It's a very good subject. Anyway, work-wise, well, David Abraham, I think, invented the Perkins Brailler for me, which was something I used to use. It was a way of embossing dots on a page in a quick way, because before that there was a stylus and a hand frame, and you know, you had to do it back as a mirror image, and it was using six cells, which Louis Braille in turn had invented at least, what, 150 years ago. But the Perkins Brailler was a quicker way of doing it, and we did all our stuff on it: homework, maths, English, geography, all kinds of stuff. Learned Braille. It was the secret to me being able to succeed at school. And that's another subject for another day. And I understand that I have a sight of people listening, so, you know, not necessarily something I would be overly interested in. But Braille, clunky Perkins Braillers. I was going to record sounds of them, but I didn't have time today. But I just wanted to have a chat about it all. And then we've gone from now. I mean, I've got a machine at work because I produce Braille for a living. You know, and I can produce that in quick time. We have audio production. I mean, audio production for me has gone from the cassette. Well, actually, I remember reel to reel at school. Paul, will you go and do an errand for us? Yes, miss, so-and-so. Will you go and get the reel-to-reel tape from the resource centre? Mrs. Tomlinson will give it to you, and she will tell you what track and what side the programme that you want is going to be on. So go up there. Hello, Paul, here's the reel-to-reel tape. It's going to be track one and side two, or track two, side one, or whatever. Track side two, side two. And that would be that. That would be the reel-to-reel. And then, as I say, cassette tapes came in. It's like, it's never going to, you know, be the same again. Cassette tapes, Dolby noise reduction, and all these things that came subsequently. And then, you know, you ended up with more music, longer play on tapes than you did on records, and everyone was going, oh, it's so unfair. Then we had CDs. Then we had things like DAT, digital audio tape, and Philips lost that battle. They won the cassette one, but they lost that. So Philips had digital compact cassette, and then Minidisc came in, and then, you know, for a good while, Minidisc was great for me. I mean, it was immediate. It was like making your own CDs. You know, you could create your own tracks, you could edit. Couldn't put something back once you'd removed it, but never mind. You could at least mark it both sides, try it. If you wanted it, there you go, bang, off it went. So you kept it. Sorry, if you didn't, you'd get rid. And I remember doing editing on a bus. I remember sitting on the bus editing a mini disc, editing out coughs and splutters and things that I didn't want on a recording. And I thought, wow, this could be the future. So that's kind of a crossover between personal and work life. And then I had my first real foray into digital recording. So, you know, well, no, on a non-moving, well, it moved. There was an iRiver H40, 40 gig jukebox type thing it was called. It was an iRiver MP3 player / recorder. Did some great recordings on there, and that was in 2004 sort of time, with, you know, in-ear mics and all the rest of it. Really good quality stereo recordings, affordable prices, and that's been a massive influence to me. And then Forward again, started editing with SoundForge, which I still do today, and its various incarnations. Moving away from CD, I haven't bought a CD for years. It's CD is as old as a record to me. It's just something I don't do anymore. and then we've got things like the proliferation of iPhones and just what we can do now. The fact I'm talking to you on this iPhone on the way to London, and you've shared probably, by the time I finish this, probably possibly 50 miles with me. And I have no sense of that. I would have had to work very, very hard to achieve travelling those miles just 100 years ago if I couldn't afford tickets for a train or whatever. I don't have to now. I sit here with this wine that I just happen to have. It's very unusual to have wine, actually, but I do. Wine, sandwich, crisps, and just sit and wait, talk to you a lot for a bit, and I'm pulling up in London. Know-how, you know, the fact that my guide dog is trained to do what he does, and that, you know, that's gone from... Well, in Scrooge, if you listen to A Christmas Carol, there's a bit at the beginning where it says, you know, about blind people. And the second, I have to show my ticket. Blind people, you know, picking up dogs to guide them, you know. I can't remember what it says now, but... blind men and their dogs wouldn't go near Scrooge or something like that, wasn't it? Because of his cantankerousness. The materials that we have and use, you know, whether that be titanium or aluminium, bits that go in your phone, oh my god, where would it go? Where would it go? Well, we've had electronics, well, from steam to electrical things to electronics to probably some kind of microelectronics, you know, in the era of things like Walkmans and mini discs and all the rest of it. And now we have, you know, nanotechnology. And that's still, that brings into the future. That's going to make its presence felt, isn't it? Nanotechnology. I've heard about all sorts, like drinks that will change their flavour when you shake them. What? You know, probably things that will... drugs that will be delivered by nano microbes that will know where to target problem areas. Genetically modified drugs that will be specific to a person. You know, faster ways of transport. Now, I know we've lost things like Concorde. We shouldn't have done, in my opinion. But we did, and that used to get you from London to New York in 3 hours. We've lost that one for a bit, but I mean, in comparison to everything else that we've got, you know, it is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Space exploration, we'll go into space, there'll be space cruises available in probably just a few years' time. Nanotechnology will proliferate. We'll have, I mean, one of my things I'm looking forward to is haptics. People think I'm talking rubbish, but already haptics are starting to play a part. When the iWatch gets released, the haptics will be on that to a degree. This thing will tap your wrist to tell you certain things. It'll do it in certain ways. So you won't be necessarily having to use all of your eyesight. You'll be picking up things with your sense of touch, whether you're sighted or visually impaired. Haptics will create the illusion that you're touching buttons and that you're feeling hot and cold, or that you're touching certain types of surfaces. We've got forays into virtual reality. All these things have been going on for years under the radar, but you know they're going to come to the fore. There's been experimentation around not Google Glasses, but the other one. There's been where people have been able to chat in virtual reality time, and it's been incredible. You know, a sense of that person being there. Don't know. Maybe scary, maybe not. Who knows? But is it exciting? I don't know. Some of it is. Is it though? Is it, you know, an invasion of privacy? We seem to be giving up more and more privacy as a result of this technology, and the payback that we're getting seems to be worth our privacy. the holy grail of these things, and the boundaries of what we can do is are being more and more squeezed and squashed, and don't know, is it a good thing, is it a not good thing, I don't know. But anyway, it's there for the picking, it's there for the taking, it's there for the watching, the enjoying, the involvement, the non-involvement, the opting out. Technology in the workplace and in social times, I'm sure there's lots more I could say, but other people will. I thank you very much for listening to me and playing with a bit of music out as we go. And this is just normal stuff, you know. It's, oh my gosh, look what he can do while he's on the train. And we've been able to do this now for the last 3 or 4 years. Thanks to Boss Jock in this instance, and some very clever future-minded people that do stuff with bits of hardware and software. Fascinating. I'm at Watford Junction now, so I need to start packing up. See if I had to walk into London Euston from here. It's, what, 10 miles? It would take me 4 hours, maybe. 2 or 3 hours at most, at least. Watford Junction. It's going to take about 10 minutes as I make this journey, as it comes towards the end. Then I'll go on a tube that goes underground, and then I'll go on another train and a taxi. I'll be at Claire's in about another hour. Fascinating. Speak to you all soon.